Oh, so I'll just wish you all thank you for listening, and have a good week. God bless. We'll be back next week at 10 a.m. Friday. Following us will be the new WHFR Journal, and it will be called in from, come in from right live from the Dearborn Homecoming. While we're waiting for them to come in, we'll play a little more Barry Manilow from his album Singing with the Big Bands.
Green eyes with their soft lights, your eyes that promise sweet nights, bring to my soul a longing, a thirst for love divine. In dreams I seem to hold you, to find you and enfold you. Our lips meet and our hearts too, with a thrill so sublime. Those cool and limpid green eyes, a pool wherein my love lies.
WHFR, Dearborn. And now we're going to turn you to the new WHFR Journal.
Hello, Jay.
You're at risk. If you want to ask anything, I'll give
it's you... WHFR, Dearborn. Joe, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, there we go. Nice and loud. All right, everybody, thank you for tuning in to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. We're live from Dearborn's homecoming, as we are every year, have been for about the last 20 years. And we have a very special guest here in the studio. We have Mayor John B. O'Reilly, Jr. of Dearborn. So, boy, it's a big day for Dearborn, as it is every year. It doesn't say in the brochure here, is it the 25th
31st.
Year?
31st
year. 31st year. This is a big deal. So do you remember any reason or why, how it came about?
Oh, absolutely.
A little history? Okay, here we go, folks.
The history is that it was actually a one-time event for the 50th anniversary of anniversary of forming the city of Dearborn. Dearborn was 1929 was when it was formally formed as it is today. So 1979, they had a big 50-year anniversary party, and it really looked much like this. All the clubs and organizations got involved, and they ran booths and tents to make money, and it became this event. Well, after it was done, everybody went, this was incredible. Many of the clubs and organizations that were nonprofits made more money at that one weekend than they made all year. So they decided to continue it, and it became Homecoming in 1980. And as Homecoming, it still fulfills probably its principal mission is, one, bring the community together, including people who used to be part of the community, and to raise funds for nonprofit organizations so that they can manage to do the things they do all year long.
It's always a big, important fundraising activity for WHFR. Of course, we do on-air fundraising and other things, but we're selling our used CDs. Every year we have so many CDs. We have a collection of 15,000 back at the station, all formats, and that's one reason our mission is to play usually just the newer things, because we don't have room to keep the older things, unfortunately. So it's always an honor to be out here. Of course, representing directly, somewhat, indirectly, definitely, Henry Ford Community College, and being part of the city, as we are with this show, and everything else we try to do with public service announcements, too. So you already started the day off with a bang.
Yep.
Was that a fun walk or a fun run?
Oh,
or how much fun was it?
It's not running, thank you. It's we have our Elder Fest. The Elder Fest starts off with a little warm-up and then a little mayor's walk, and we walk around the area and take up on the street and come back. And then there's a breakfast provided, and the Wayne County Commissioner, Wayne County Executive Bob Picano sponsors that. So then they get breakfast. Then we have a lot of activities there and bingo and some music and other things. And then there's a lunch and ice cream and then a real nice anniversary waltz where all the people with anniversaries have a dance. So we go from 8 a.m. until about 2 p.m. on Friday morning of the homecoming. That's our Elder Fest. And that's the principal activity, except that about 11 o'clock, as we can hear in the background, the rides open.
It's not quite so bad for our listeners, but you're not. We didn't have an extra pair of headphones for the mayor, so he hears Alpine Bobs. It's some sort of a ride, and people are screaming, and earlier they were playing heavy metal music at loud volume too. But tremendous fun out here. What do you have ahead of you? Of course, you're always everywhere on the field for most every one of the days. Do you have any other special events that you're officiating at? Are you in charge of some of the pudding eating contest or anything crazy like that?
No, my father taught me never judge any kind of contest because one person will think you're really genius and everybody else can't believe what an idiot you are. So you see, he gave me good advice. So I won't judge contests.
All right, we won't worry about that. We're looking forward to the Turbo Turtle Derby on Sunday. That's, of course, to benefit fundraising for the Kiwanis. I already bought my turtle. I bet you have one at least.
Yes, last year we got washed out. Literally, the high rains had the river rapids too high to do it. This year it looks like we're going to go forward. But 4 o'clock on Sunday, now they've been selling them in advance. You buy your turtle, although I say leasing because you don't get to keep it.
Right, no.
But you have a turtle assigned to you. And then they dump all the turtles into the river, and they go down, from the bridge. It's probably about 200 yards, and they get trapped into it's like a catchment trap that goes down where there's going to be a first place, second place, and so on.
Sort of like a funnel of some sort.
A funnel, and the people are waiting out in the river. And so you win by whether or not your turtle is one of the ones that wins in the places.
Did we mention these are plastic? Turtles.
Rubber.
Okay, yeah, they're not real turtles, folks. No turtles were harmed in the process.
But it's so much fun because you actually have a stake in it, and you watch it, and it's really fun. Everybody lines the banks of the river, and you cheer on your turtle.
That's something like 2,000 to 3,000 turtles they usually sell.
Yeah, it's right. It's fun.
And WHFR is a co-sponsor. We may do a play-by-play even, The yellow ones ahead. Oh, they're all yellow. Oh, I'm sorry. No, they're different colors.
Our people go in rubber boots, but Dennis could wear his bathing suit.
We may renegotiate my contract.
Right. Dennis Reimar is on the mic. We're on here, too. We just wanted to also catch you. We're going to talk to the chief of police, Ron Haddad, and a little bit later in the show today. I wanted to ask you maybe some opinions about the primary election that just finished. First of all, we were wondering what the turnout was for voters in the Dearborn area. Primaries are unfortunately always a lighter number of people, fewer people vote. But and I didn't see anything in the Free Press, but you thought it wasn't too bad, right?
Yeah, for Dearborn it was a little lower than when Dearborn usually turns out at a greater average number of voters than a lot of the county and so on. This time it was kind of an interesting phenomenon because in the East End, the turnout was in most precincts less than 10%. In the West End, the turnout in most precincts was 30% or more. So citywide, it was 21%, but it was very disparate.
And we have two council people running now in November, one Democrat, one Republican, Serini the Republican and Duraney the Democrat now, for the 15th district seat that Gino Polidori is term limited out of right now. What happens with the council? If either one of them gets it, will they dip back to the last election and take the next number?
Yes, our charter has, and it's worked very successfully. That's how George Duraney got on, in fact, is that if anybody leaves the council, the next highest vote getter in the last election automatically is offered the opportunity. Then you go right down the line. So, if you didn't get in, you have a chance to get in as long as somebody leaves. In this case, we know somebody's going to leave because one of the two candidates is going to go. And so that opens up the position.
I think there's a Libertarian running, too. Maybe even Green Party. No, one or the other. The odds are it'll be either Duraney because of voting patterns and so on. You don't happen to remember who that next name is?
Oh, yeah. He's been active.
Who was it? I didn't catch it.
Mr. Bazzi? Okay. Yeah. So he'll be in, and so that'll be the next one. So.
Wow. Okay.
And he would come in January, I guess. Be seated in January?
He'll probably be sworn. What happens is when you get elected state rep, you're sworn right after the election, within 10 days.
Okay.
And therefore, technically, I think he'll be sworn, and then it's just a matter of when they work out who's leaving. Yeah.
Well, it's certainly going to be an exciting race. I mean, that's the only race. It's not a Dearborn Council election. It's certainly not the mayoral election this fall. Aren't you happy about that?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
No, it's a big deal, campaigning, right? I mean, In fact, we have here, sitting on the other side of the tent, you just see his white hair, Ned Apigian, is just in the final round of the primary. He has a chance. He's one of two candidates that might get the open seat in Dearborn Heights City Council.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he was the largest vote getter. Now, he's been trying to run for that for, I think, about 10 years.
Yep.
So his name has been out there a while. But he's one of our volunteers and hosts a talk show about Dearborn Heights now.
Right. Okay.
We just started that last month. We had Mayor Paletko on, in fact. It's the fifth Tuesday. Whenever a month has a fifth Tuesday, Ned does his show.
Oh, okay.
But we're heavily involved, of course, in the outcome at WHFR here, if only because of Ned.
Yep.
But good luck to you on homecoming weekend. The weather has been fantastic today. Clouds have cooled it down, but it looks like it's going to be great fun for all. What is the movie tonight? Last question.
Tonight,
do you know the movie?
It's Back to the Future.
Right.
That's our drive-in site. And I just want to tell you, tonight at Friday, we have Motown Review music, so it's all Motown. And then we have the drive-in movie is there, and you can sit amongst all the classic cars. Then Saturday's great day, kids things. If you bring your children down Saturday and Sunday afternoons with no cost, this is not the rides, this is all kinds of activities for them, then we have, it's a Billy Joel, it's called Big Shot, but it's a Billy Joel tribute band, and Michael Del Judas, who's in it, was in the Broadway version of the show for Billy Joel, and he played down here in Detroit, and... So it's a great show, and then the fireworks, of course, come Saturday night.
That's about 10 o'clock.
That's about 10 o'clock, right after dark, and it's right after the music. And then on Sunday night, we have a great emerging country band, young country band that's just really taken off, and they're playing, and then we have fireworks then, too.
Emerson Drive, folks. That'll be the country band, the emerging country band.
Yeah.
Cutting-edge stuff here at Dearborn. By the way, the Broadway... the Broadway musical that was based on Billy Joel songs that you said this gentleman was the lead in got tremendous reviews. Just wonderful. Probably in some cases, like some tribute bands, they almost seem better than the original. But
well, I don't know about that, but
very authentic. In other words,
Billy Joel does endorse the Big Shot and Michael Del Judas. He actually when we got the materials, he actually says use my name to endorse it. So he's supportive of it.
Well, thanks for being with us here on the Journal again. If you see Bonero or Snyder, send them over. You know that we both interviewed both of them.
Yeah. Snyder is ties to Dearborn.
Well, we gave both of them the WHFR bump, and that's why they're there. That's right. So thank you very much, Mayor O'Reilly, City of Dearborn, here on the new WHFR Journal, a station making waves, doing things other stations can't. Dennis and Amy are going to take over their seats here again, and we have more stories continuing. People coming up to our WHR booth. Hello, how are you? Free newsletter and pen? Okay. And we've got more stories to do here. Dennis is getting his headset on, and I'm going to switch to my headset mic. Hang on. Okay. Oh, I sound good. Okay. I love live broadcasting. Okay. Dennis, you should be able to hear yourself talk. Can't hear yourself. Okay. I wonder... What about now, Dennis? No? Do you have an on-off switch or something on there? I love live radio, don't you, folks? No. Here, come over here.
Are we on?
We're on.
Can I guest on the show for like 30 seconds?
Sure.
I have something to share.
Okay. We have our general manager, Susan McGraw, here, and she has something to share.
I do. Thank you, Jay. I just got this word from the mayor. He forgot to share this information, and it's big and it's exciting, supporting our mission of what we do here at the station. The Dearborn Homecoming Festival, is recycling heavy duty this year. Bottled water, empty water bottles, beer cups, cardboard containers for food and everything. He has pushed this and finally got it the way he wanted it with these green containers. So
I haven't seen. Where are they? Where are these green containers?
More in the food areas, so they're interspersed within the food, but wanted to share that. So that's big, so we're going to continue to mention that throughout the weekend. So.
All right, yeah. So look for the green containers for appropriate recyclable bottles.
And plasticware as well, knives and forks, anything plastic. They're doing, and they're going to separate it all.
Does that include the styrofoam stuff they sometimes put food in or not?
I don't think they're doing styrofoam at the festival. They're just doing the thin plastic, okay, to my understanding.
Right.
So, but that's exciting.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Every day in every way, at least a little baby step. Okay, we have the Dearborn Chief of Police here, Ron Haddad. Hi, Ron. My name is Jay Koronik. Why don't you just sit down? Be comfortable here. We want to welcome you to this show. We are live right now to all of our listeners. This show is also being recorded as a podcast, so if you need to afterwards check on what I said or you said, you can download it from our website, whfr.fm. First of all, we just got done interviewing around 12 noon the Dearborn Fire Chief. And I don't know, is there a similar background here? He had retired from the Dearborn Fire Department, did some private work, and then came back to us. You were retired, not from Dearborn, but with the Detroit Police Force, went to some private work, I think Chrysler Security, and then rejoined us. Is it about a year or two you've been with us?
Almost 2 years now, and I guess there is some similarities. You know, I guess what you can draw from this is once in public service and public safety, always in public service and public safety. It's kind of in our blood, you know, and Rich Miller was gone for a little while, and he got the opportunity to come back. And when I retired from Detroit, I thought that I'd given 34 years in law enforcement, and that seemed like it was time. And then when the city of Dearborn offered me this opportunity, I really waited out, and I'm so grateful for it now.
Well, I won't go into your extensive experience, but you did a lot of things for the city of Detroit as their deputy chief in Detroit. I think Mayor O'Reilly mentioned to me earlier that you actually oversaw directly a group that was much larger than the Dearborn Police Force.
Well, yeah. You know, I had the most similar was the command that I had, which was the 11th Precinct. It was about, 30 square miles and 100,000 people, and I had about 250 officers, and I spent 8 years there. So that was the most similar to the city of Dearborn, but at one time I was over the whole east side of Detroit, including downtown Detroit, and I had 1,400 people working under me, so it was a much bigger responsibility, obviously.
What attracted you to Dearborn? I mean, I think it's a great place to work. I taught at Henry Ford Community College for 40 years, retired, and I'm still around part-time with the radio station here. What especially about our police department? I guess you must have thoroughly researched it before, of course, you applied for the job, or maybe you heard rumors from Detroit about it, right?
Well, the first thing I weighed out was how committed the community and the mayor were to public safety and to the police. And believe it or not, I didn't do a whole lot of research on the department because I've always known it to be a professional, progressive, well-equipped department. I kind of weighed it from the back end first, and I said if I thought that I was who the mayor and the city wanted, then I wanted to make sure I'd be a good fit. And once I made that analysis, I made a commitment to take the job. And I'm very proud of the 200-plus men and women here. They do a great job every day. And it's just a lucky job for me that, you know, I'm here in this very great city.
Of course, the Dearborn Homecoming Weekend is a special activity. And, of course, we have many officers here in force, both retired police officers, and is there a group called the Police Explorers, too, here?
Yeah, those are our young people. It's a career development. They're attached to the Boy Scouts of America. They just got back from a national competition, and they fared pretty well. They caught some medals, so they're very good. They're seniors in high school, and they're going to go on to college and do law enforcement, many of them. We have one explorer, a young lady that's going into the Marine Corps in September. So there are high-quality individuals that we have in this Explorer Post here in the city of Dearborn. I'm real proud of them.
When could someone, they have to be high school age to join, start coming to the meetings?
The Explorers run 14 to 21 years old. They average, between 16 and 19 years old. But you can be 14 years old and in high school, and you can sign up for the Explorers. We let you come to a couple of meetings just to make sure that, you know, it's what you thought it would be and it was a good fit for you. So anybody that would want to find out, they could call our police station and find out when the next meeting is, and we certainly would welcome that.
I know the fire department here has, they're in the food tent selling or asking for donations for cobs of corn to help their activities too, and always raising money like the burn drive to do things. Does the police department, and I don't want to put you on the spot, because you're working here, I mean, you really are making sure everything is safe and professional out here, but do you have an operation or a table for information out here at the homecoming this year?
We do have a table. We have what's called a Nexo program, where we can let people know of impending emergencies or things that impact public safety here in the city. And you can go on the city website. I'm glad you asked me that. It's a free service, and I need people to understand this, that the police do not know who signs up for this. You know, people are worried about their privacy. All we know is that we have 350 people signed up right now, which is a good thing, but we need about 3,000 people so that when we have a traffic problem, or we have an oil leak like we had out on Telegraph, or if we have a snowstorm coming, or if we have our cleanups where the garbage people want you to pull your car off the street, we will notify them of all these kind of things. We also,
so these are automated messages going to your cell phones.
Your cell phone and your email, whatever you prefer. And, you know, more important than that, we often develop crime trends where people burglarize houses through a particular window. And we like to share that with people because oftentimes you would think on the back end of your house, between that area of the garage and your kitchen, nobody sees. So you often leave that window open for air when you leave the home. Well, those that wish to harm us know that that's a soft spot. They go in the backyard, and the first thing they check is the window leading between the garage and the kitchen. And if we can let our citizens know that, for example, lock that window when you leave, there'd be fewer victims in the city of Dearborn. And Dearborn is very safe. I want it to be declared the safest city in America someday, and we're going to work real hard to make that happen.
I just had a few other questions. I know you're very busy, but we thank you very much for being on the WHFR Journal today with us. And again, this is Chief Ronald Haddad from the city of Dearborn. And I saw something crazy. I was looking through the budget, and the city of Dearborn budget is a long document. It's hard to say exactly what some of the categories are, but I swear I saw something that said expected parking ticket income, $100,000. Now, of course, police, you have to issue tickets for violations of rules, regulations of one sort or another. You really get $100,000, or is that an estimate each year from parking tickets?
You know, it's an estimate. You know, we know that we have parking violations around town. I can tell you from a practical perspective, people think that we can fund operations with tickets. It's not valid because a lot of people don't pay their tickets. A lot of people get them dismissed. There's court costs involved. And if somebody would be mistaken to believe that if we did write $100,000 in parking tickets, that the police department would recoup that money.
What about moving violations, like speeding tickets or whatever?
I think it's the same process. You know, the cost of sending an officer to court, and that's our responsibility, and that's our duty. But when you look at the cost of sending officers to court and, you know, the unfortunate traffic crashes that occur, the ticket's not even a wash. I mean, you know, I think it holds people accountable. It's a system that, you know, we've had in this country for a long time. But we in the city of Dearborn do not look at that as a revenue maker, nor do we use it in that sense. We have about 2,900 car crashes every year, so that's about, you know, 6,000 victims a year, and that's the way I look at it. If I can reduce those numbers, reduce the chances for an injury or fatality to take place, I'd write any amount of tickets, but I got to make sure that it's accomplishing the goal of reducing the injuries and the car crashes. So, you know, it's an emotional thing for people. It's rough on their insurance, but it's certainly not a revenue builder for this city, nor would I ever employ it as such.
And as a resident here for over 30 years, I really don't notice that you operate like a speed trap thing. You know what I'm saying? You put an officer out there, and they're really only watching their radar gun or something, and you know, like the slightest, like over 5 miles an hour or 10 or something, you start getting a ticket from that. And I have to say that Dearborn Heights does that on Ford Road. Now, you don't have to comment here, but it's happened to me once. And a lot of our students coming down Ford Road, maybe they are going a little over, but it's tricky because the speeds change there on Ford Road from Telegraph to the college. And seen a lot of people pulled over. Of course, maybe they're just new to driving in that way and not watching the limits. But you don't do that in Dearborn, really. I mean, you have some times when you have to watch problem areas, no doubt, and put a few cars out there. But
yeah, we try to target crime and try to target situations. You know, every city and every police chief has to determine what deployment tactics they need. And, you know, Dearborn Heights might have a problem with the speeders in that location. It's up to that chief and that mayor to decide that's the best tactic.
Yeah.
We don't have speed traps in Dearborn. There may come a time when our information indicates that's appropriate, but we're looking at the bigger crime picture right now. My hope as chief is that when I sit here next year, I can tell you that crime is down in Dearborn in spite of the bad economy, in spite of, you know, what the crime looks around us. I hope that Dearborn can hold the line against crime so that this will continue to grow and be a welcoming place for everybody.
Well, we certainly have, I think, the best people and the best organization around here. There's a couple other topics here. I saw on the website, just an organizational thing, we've talked to the Dearborn Animal Shelter and the friends of the shelter that run it many times. Is the animal shelter actually a branch or a part of the police department?
Yeah, you know, they are under the police department. We have our animal control officers, and those highly publicized incidents with the cat house and the chihuahuas, they came up real big. But I think what people have to understand is that there's only about $60,000 in the budget for the animal shelter. 99.9% of their operation is funded through donations and volunteerism. They do a wonderful, wonderful job with the volunteers and with some well-planned fundraisers through the year. So if people would keep that in mind, and if you want a good cause, I think that, again, the economy is driving a lot of the bad stuff that happens here. I think that last time I met with the director at the animal shelter, she indicated that their pickup is picked up by 60% this fiscal year. So they've had 60% more strays and abandoned animals because people simply can't afford to feed them anymore. So the demands are great on them, and their budget has not gotten any bigger. So they do a great job, and if citizens need something to volunteer some time for or to donate to, I would suggest they look at our animal shelter because they do a great public service and they go unrecognized a lot of the time.
All those volunteers and all that nonprofit fundraising, sort of like WHFR. Okay, little plug there. I was interested that you folks do house checks, or at least you have your reserve officers that provide that. So if you're going for an extended vacation, they can come down and give you their information about the location, and officers, I guess it's reserve officers, right, that they will come and just sort of look over your property on some sort of random basis maybe. But
that's right. You know, all our officers are mindful of the homes that are empty at the time, but our reserves have that exclusive assignment where they go around and check every house that we have listed. So if a citizen plans on being gone, they should call our desk and let us know.
I one of the former police chiefs, and I can't remember his name now, but he used to live, I'm in the Spring Rose Park area, you know, in a private house by those apartments, and one of the prior police chiefs lived there, and boy, did we have police protection in that neighborhood while he lived there. I don't know, but it seemed a little more than usual. Unless maybe they're having meetings in his house or something in the middle of the night, I don't know. But Dearborn is known for fast response and great service, even though our subdivision is just south of the train tracks from the main headquarters, which is comforting, though. Okay, last but not least, I'm a bicyclist in Dearborn. Do you still provide bicycle licenses by going to the main police station?
Yes, we do, and you can also get them at the post office and the city hall as well. And I would suggest, you know,
because my sticker after 30 years in this one, but it will not come off. I don't know what kind of glue they use, but it's there for a long time. If somebody steals that bike, they'd have to burn the whole thing to get it off.
Yeah, we probably don't have a record of that anymore.
Uh-oh.
And the odds,
I have to get a new sticker.
You should. And the odds are sometimes overwhelming whether we get your, but we recover a lot of bikes.
Yeah.
And if we have a record on whose bike it is, we would love to return it. You know, the odds might be against us finding your bike, but we do recover a lot of bikes every year. And if we have a license on it, the first thing we're going to do is, you know, try to contact the owner. So,
well, when I got my bike, I actually bought it from a used bicycle sale that the Dearborn Police Department used to do. Is that still happen? I heard some other officers said they thought they send like bikes that they discover that are abandoned or whatever off to a third party to do the sale.
Yeah.
That, do you know anything about that?
I think we've gone high tech, and they go through Google or one of those, and they, Yahoo, you know, they sell it online.
eBay.
That's what they do, eBay.
Okay.
And they, you know, they sell them online. Our city does get rid of unneeded evidence that's, you know, not contraband or used cars or used equipment that we no longer need. They do get rid of it in that way.
A lot of information about this, folks, is on the website. Although, for example, it doesn't explain, I have to tell you, like the police explorers, it mentions them on the website, doesn't say who or what they are. Now, maybe I didn't click on a link somewhere, so it could have been my fault, but that's a new City of Dearborn template. It looks new, brand new from a year ago, and they're adding features to it all the time. Thank you for all your time today. You know, you're very busy this weekend with all the officers and reserve officers and explorers out here. Chief Ronald Haddad, thanks so much for being on the Journal today.
Thank you.
And we'll be in touch in the future. Let us know if you need a message put out to the community.
All right. We appreciate all you do, and we want people to come out. Law enforcement will be seamless and invisible. We just want all the people to come out and have a good time. The weather's going to be great. It'll be a nice 3 days here in the city of Dearborn, so thank you.
Absolutely, and you're an important part of that. Thanks so much. And Amy Powers is giving Chief Haddad a temporary tattoo from WHFR, so I'm sure he's going to wear that with pride.
I don't know what to do.
Okay. So we're having a lot of fun out here. This is WHFR, the new WHFR Journal, and today is August 6th, our live homecoming edition. We're right down here. So, Dennis, can you talk yet?
No,
he still can't. Okay, you're taking this mic.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. And I assume you can hear me, right?
I can hear you perfectly. You know,
okay.
That was really interesting. I did get a chance to talk to a couple of the police officers that were walking by, and they talked about the fact that the explorers are indeed high school kids. And then the reserves that you were talking about, these high school kids can then go on to be a part of the reserves while they're going to college to get their degree before they go to the academy.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a really nice system, and I think the mayor even said that he initiated something for the younger potential cadets, too.
Yeah, it's just been a great time out here. By the way, where is Dearborn Homecoming? We are at Ford Field. That is in Dearborn, the original Ford Field. After all, Dearborn is the birthplace of Henry Ford originally, so why shouldn't it be here? It is north of Michigan Avenue, north off Monroe Street. So if you're coming Southfield, we are west of Southfield, and we are east of Outer Drive. The landmarks at Monroe Street are either the Dearborn Historical Museum or Dearborn Music. And parking is either north or south of the Michigan Avenue, of course. And there is a Brady Street parking lot that runs parallel to Monroe Street, but just a block or two further east. That parking costs $5 as long as space is available. And today there might still be some space there, but it's no doubt filling up fast. Free shuttle from Dearborn High School parking lots, and Dearborn High School is on Outer Drive just north of Michigan Avenue. And those shuttles run from, I think, 11 a.m. each day for the next 3 days, all the way until 11:30 at night. So you could even stay for the fireworks and still get a ride back there. Yes, Chief. Oh, the chief is standing here for a picture, and we've got a smile.
Well, speaking of tickets, Jay,
yes.
I think that you have I'm just kidding.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Publicity, it's such a burden, but yeah, thanks.
And then there's the metered and the parking lots very close by.
I think he also got our fingerprints or something.
God, he was good. Yeah,
it was sneaky.
But with regard to parking, you know, you don't have to pay to park at all on Sunday. That's kind of a big deal.
I think that's great. Yeah. Oops, the wind is blowing here. It's a wonderful thing.
One of the city workers earlier said that he heard they're suspending all paid parking for the weekend, but we can't verify that, but we do know that Dearborn on Sundays does not charge at all for parking.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, that was
we've got more stories here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We've still got 25 minutes to go, and I think we should summarize the election results in Dearborn for people that haven't heard about them, and maybe just talk about a race or two that might have been extraordinary. I don't know. Amy, did you want to do some summarizing for us here?
Well, if we start at the gubernatorial level, obviously Virg Bonero won on the Democratic side. Rick Schneider won on the Republican side.
What do they have in common?
Well, what they really share in common is the fact that they were both on the Journal previous to the primary election.
You mean our show?
Yes, our very own show. So after the primary, I had sent just a couple questions to both Mayor Bonero and Rick Schneider. Two questions. I asked what they owed the victory to, and at what point in the night they knew they were primary winners. And I also asked when they begin betting running mate. Mayor Bonero responded. He basically attributed, you know, obviously to the voters of Michigan. They believed in my campaign and my priorities to put Michigan back to work. They showed up to the polls to ensure my victory, and I could not have been successful without the support of so many great people across the state.
That was Bonero?
Bonero. Rick Schneider did not respond.
Okay.
We know he's off and running, doing other, you know, campaign stops. I think the next morning he was in Southfield.
Yeah, you know, when we talked, it was well documented that he was moving so fast before the actual primary that we didn't even know that he was on our campus until that day. That was he's just boom,
exactly.
boom, boom. And that was like a panel of some kind or a town hall
exactly.
meeting. Okay.
Exactly.
We're committed, though, to getting back in touch and doing whatever we can to, if not get them on the show, then at least get... some bites or some email
right.
stuff. So yeah, that's good.
As well as our Green Party candidates, other progressive party candidates.
Oh, absolutely, libertarians.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Anybody that we can get hold of. So it was good that we were a big help to these two gentlemen.
Obviously.
And I'm sure that at some point we'll get some kind of gift of gratitude and appreciation of the WHFR Journal bump, as Jay Korna calls it.
Well.
no comment on that.
No right. comment. Maybe they've got a pen from their campaign, something like that.
A pen from theirs? Oh, yeah.
That's what we give out in gratitude.
That's
we've got
right.
pens. We've got stickers here. Even the fine WHFR tattoos, temporary tattoos.
You know, Jay, you make a big deal about the WHFR, the Journal bump.
Yes.
Yeah, this particular one, this was, we were two for two for the... Governor
and George Duraney for the Democratic 15th District candidate. Although, sorry that Steve Dabkowski, only one person can win,
yeah,
did not
go.
Win. He did come in third after Linda Tefelsky.
Right.
But he had, I think, over 600 votes, so that's not bad in a primary. His name, again, he had been previously elected to the Dearborn Charter Commission and served for a few months on that. So his name... was somewhat known.
Well, Mr. Duraney did a great job of getting lawn signs everywhere. You know, I mean, and we talked about some of the things, even for the governor, we saw certain people on the internet. I saw Rick Schneider everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everywhere. And certain people took, I think, went in a certain direction as far as their marketing.
Right.
No.
Yeah, very, very fascinating campaign. I know there was a lot of question in my mind about the 3rd District, State Senate District. And as I tried to point out last week, Irma Clark Coleman was term limited out, and therefore it was an open race. Morris Hood did win that race, and Amy, did you mention that already?
No, we didn't.
In the summary? Okay.
No.
But it was in Dearborn, and it's not just the Dearborn votes, it's a downriver community too, but in Dearborn, he came out a couple hundred votes higher than Isaac Robinson. And my guess is that Isaac Robinson, from all of his ads, had the Democratic...
William Robinson?
No, Isaac.
Oh, Isaac.
Isaac was his nickname, I think, his middle name.
Oh, got it, okay.
Yeah.
It
William
is William
Isaac.
Robinson, but the nickname or his middle name is Isaac, what they frequently use. And he seemed to have the Democratic Party support because the endorsements were George Hart, former senator, Agnes Dobrowolski, some people may remember her from about 20 years ago serving in the House, in the Michigan House, and I think she's retired in Florida now, although we might see her at homecoming, who knows. And then there was an endorsement from Kim Worthy, who is
the prosecutor,
in Wayne County.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of means that the Democratic Party money, whatever monies they raise from Democrats, seem to go to Robinson, not Mohammed Oakley, or, for that matter,
Morris Hood.
But Morris Hood had run as a Democrat, and I believe was elected 3 times to the House.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, I think he was term limited out of that.
Right.
I think his district, though, was in Detroit more?
Yeah.
Somebody nod your head here.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm thinking.
And I don't know what Morris Hood looks like, but I do know that I saw Morris Hood's workers at my precinct polling place in Dearborn.
Interesting.
And I know at several others. Now, you were at Tenike, and you said you saw
Mohammed Oakley
Robinson
workers.
And Oakley poll workers. So,
and they you couldn't miss them, put it that way. So, yeah, they may have swayed people.
We can't really say, why Hood won, except he had name recognition as an elected official before.
Mm-hmm.
And some voters, even if they didn't know what he was elected to, they probably remember the name Morris Hood somehow in the news. I mean, I did, certainly.
Right.
I think that accounts for a lot of candidates that are, reelected or elected to different, positions along their career.
Well, I hate to say, as an independent, though, I hate to see a candidate that, to me, from their campaign literature, looks like they're part of a machine, whether Democratic, Republican, whatever. Because it sometimes means, and this isn't always bad, though, is that that person will vote exactly as they are told to vote when they get in office by that machine, by that party. Now, of course, they're supposed to make their own minds up, and most of them say they have or they will. But to me... I won't mention a few people I know of who will, really, once they got elected, they did not have a free and open mind about major issues. However the party leadership told them to vote, that's how they did. In fact, I commended Gary Warrenchuk, who started as a Republican and then changed to a Democrat, because, in fact, he admitted to us on this show, after he was term limited out of Lansing, that he's always voting for the best issue anyway. It's a pragmatic thing.
Mm-hmm.
For him, it wasn't a philosophy. And, in fact, a lot of people say Democrats and Republicans are not even two sides of the same coin. A lot of people say they are the same side of the coin. There's not that much difference, except the Republicans always say no to certain things and Democrats say no to other things, and that's how you have the split and not really solving problems as much.
Right.
If you totally reject anything the other side says, you can never solve a problem, okay? And so that's... But Warrenchuk, I'm not saying he had the right approach, but I'm saying he had an independent mind. And so to me, whether he's a Democrat or Republican, he's going to decide what is best in his own view, and nobody's going to tell him how to vote, and he's going to lockstep vote that way.
Right,
he'll consider it, no doubt. But he's... And I think George Durrani, several times on the council, voted, against the mayor. Not all the time, but he and Tefalski often were the 2 votes out of the 7 that didn't go along with a lot of votes that the mayor even supported. And it's not because they always said no, but it's because he had good reasons for saying no and didn't do it just because Ted Tefalski did it either. So for some people, maybe like myself, and I hope our listeners aren't like me necessarily, but I'm saying... I try to see if they do have strength of character enough on a difficult issue to vote their conscience, their own conscience, and even though they can incorporate political philosophy into their vote if they want to, but they shouldn't just take their marching orders because their campaign money comes from the party, and they have no way to raise the money, which is essential. They shouldn't be beholden to any group, whether it's the party or some lobbyist group. So that's... I I was suspicious that Robinson might have been that kind of person, and I can't say if I voted for him or not, of course. But anyway, Hood won, and there you go. Was there something else?
Hood won. I mean, not necessarily by a sizable margin. It was about 125 votes, so very, very close.
Yeah. We should mention that Wayne County, I guess most people by now, if they've been paying attention to the news, the smart bus renewal millage did pass, and that's of very vital interest to Dearborn seniors. In fact, do we have the vote on here somewhere? Maybe. Yeah, it's more. It's about 2.5 to 1. So it's 52,000 yes to 19,000 no in Dearborn. And I think Dearborn residents know what a tremendous service that is. They can call up and get a bus specifically to their apartment building or their home if they need it, and get, you know, it costs a lot of money to run smart buses, but when the main bus line is not in good, you know, operating condition, and they've been cutting back, the Detroit buses keep cutting back their own services, then what are you going to do? You have to call a smart bus. So until we come up with a better metro transit system for the whole Tri-County area, southeastern Detroit, we have to do something with and keep the smart buses running. So I think that was the appropriate thing to do, and it won by a I would guess that would be 70-30 at least, if not 80-20. So, great. We have some other stories here on the new WHFR Journal. If you wonder why there's so much noise in the background, it's because, wow, we're out of Dearborn Homecoming. We're live today for the whole hour, and for the rest of the day, from 2 o'clock to 8, and tomorrow and Sunday from 10 until 8, we'll be broadcasting reports from Homecoming with a lot of important people of Dearborn and the surrounding area, and letting you know what's happening out here play-by-play to encourage you to get on down here. Don't miss anything. Listen to WHFR 89.3 and get your homecoming reports a couple times every hour. Today, the Journal, with Dennis and Amy and myself, Jay Koronick, are reporting live from Dearborn Homecoming. What do we see in front of us? What sort of fun and activities, Dennis?
Well, you've already talked about Alpine Bob's, so we don't want to, you know, beat a dead horse, but we have the Sugar Shack. A couple of rides in the background that I'm kind of a sissy, so I don't even look at for very long, and I never get on.
But and, there's also the Super Slide.
The Super
Slide.
That's
for any age, any time.
We have, sitting next to me is a gentleman. Is it Bill?
Bill, yes.
Bill, what's your last name?
Bill Biokowski.
And Bill, you've heard of our station.
Yes, ironically, I listen to it in the morning when I do my morning exercises.
That's awesome. Now, I want to ask you, because we're in the spirit of homecoming, have you been to your share of homecoming?
I actually have, and I really like it because I've been out of the country quite a while, and often I would be home during the homecoming, and it was good fun.
Which was kind of the point originally, I think, wasn't it?
Well, that's a good point, right.
What I don't mean to put you on the spot, but give me maybe a favorite homecoming memory, maybe a band, some entertainment, or a ride.
No, I think it's just walking around, being back in Dearborn, you know. In my travels, I've lived in Russia, China, Hungary, Belarus, Southern California. I consider that another country. You know?
It's kind of exotic to us here, sure.
It's always fun to be right back in hometown Dearborn. Plus, I went to Henry Ford College, Dearborn High, class of 69. And, you know, I never complain about Henry Ford. We had no choice in 69. You either went to college or you went to the Army. And everything transferred. I got out of school, and I worked for 33 years. Now I'm in the retirement world. So.
Well, welcome back here.
Beer drinking on a Friday afternoon.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by here. And we're telling everybody we have program guides. We have pens we want to make sure people grab. And for anybody,
are you a CD sale?
Are you a CD sale? Did you see any CDs where they're a dollar each donation? And I know that we have a bag that at some point you can fill. You buy the bag for $10 and fit as much as you can in there. Did you see any CDs that you're interested in?
You know what? I just made a donation because I'm trying to de-stuff.
So you couldn't help the donation part, which we appreciate. Thank you so much. But you didn't want anything extra to add.
No, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Bill. It's so good to meet you.
The conversation.
Thank you.
Again, a loyal supporter of WHFR, a former alumni of Henry Ford Community College. They're everywhere. Of course, the college has been out there doing its job since 1938. Now, the main campus on Evergreen was 1961. They moved there, but I just met someone this morning that graduated in 1960 when they had a campus on Lois Avenue. And that used to be an administration building, too, for a while for the city. Originally, in 1938, the classes were just night school classes at Fortson High School.
At Fortson, okay.
So Fortson was the first location, if you will, of Henry Ford Community College. I think it was called Dearborn Junior College for a while.
I think it was.
Or
no, Fortson
Junior College. Fortson Junior College, right.
That's good. I can't believe you remember that far back.
Very,
that's awesome. Uncle,
very old.
Uncle Jay.
Yes, very old. Well, other stories here on the Journal with about 12 minutes to go. And then we'll go back to the studio, and we have, you know, Joanne Kraczynska, our Highway 61 host, is down in Mississippi at this point, and she is...
So she's going to be really late.
Yeah, right.
Or checking out, with, you know, the next blues.
Going to a blues festival today, and so we have Bill Keith in the studio from 2 to 4, and he always has indie rock and folk songs of a great selection. I'm not sure if he's going to try to keep with the blues format or not, but Mike Holloway with his Rockin' Blues, which is usually Tuesday afternoons, and it was this week, he's coming in to sit in from 4 to 6. So there will be blues this afternoon, at least from 4 to 6, and there will be, of course, homecoming reports coming regularly, too, every hour. Some other stories that I wanted to look at here. We're not going to get into it too much because we might later, but Henry Ford Community College is now part of a bachelor's degree program where you can take all the classes physically in Dearborn. Now, you might have heard and you might realize that we have a relationship with a four-year school in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I can't remember the name. It starts with an F. Yeah,
you,
there
you
go.
You're looking at me
now.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the problem there is you take classes, like two and a half, 3 years of classes. We have a lot of advanced classes that don't always transfer to every four-year school. But some schools take advantage of this, like the new one I'm going to mention in a second. And this school, you could finish your degree, your bachelor's degree with them online. So you don't take, for that BA, which is three-quarters HFCC, you finish it online with a school in Ohio. But now, with thanks to, and here's the magic word, Lake Superior State College, based in Sault Ste. Marie, Lake Superior State College, LSSC, they already operate a charter school in Dearborn for grades K through 12, and they're doing pretty good with enrollment on that. As many colleges, in fact, are chartering schools in the K-12 around the state, and that's another option for people who, for whatever reason, want something better or different than what's offered by the public school system. Nonetheless, they now have a relationship with Henry Ford Community College that's been finalized, and starting this year, people can take their fourth year, their senior year, in three different areas, business, an allied health area, which I can't remember the name of, and criminal justice, and get a bachelor's degree from Lake Superior State College.
That's tremendous.
And they don't have to drive up to Sault Ste. Marie, although, why not? It's a pretty drive. I know. What is it, 4.5 hours?
No, 350 miles away.
Okay.
Depends on how fast you're driving.
Well, how far across is the bridge? 5 miles, the Mackinac Bridge?
Yeah, it's about, they walk it every Labor Day, don't they? It's
so,
five miles.
So 355 miles from here.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, but that's an awesome opportunity.
And, right, and in fact, they're even, I just happened to be talking to them earlier and tossed out the idea of a four-year telecom degree. Why not?
So what you're saying is you don't have to leave the Dearborn area to get your four-year degree.
No, you physically take classes in person 3 years at Henry Ford Community College, and your senior year, you take classes taught by Lake Superior State College in their buildings.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the state of Michigan, they have been playing with the idea that certain colleges in some areas, the community colleges, might be able to offer their own four-year degrees by offering some extra classes. That hasn't been worked out by our legislature.
Right.
Obviously, if Henry Ford Community College did that, we would beat the tuition of Wayne State horrendously. But a lot of people need a four-year degree, and if we can do the job, maybe other community colleges, whether it's Macomb or Oakland County, we need more people getting degrees, and if this is a way to make it happen in a quality way, then so be it. But temporarily, or for the time being, people now have the option of coming to Henry Ford Community College. All the credits, as is appropriate for their program, and it means all of the first 2 year classes, as well as some advanced courses that we offer already, and then take the fourth year at Lake Superior State College, right here in Dearborn. I think it's Oakman, their academy building is on Oakman. And after the young kids in the daytime maybe are gone, they have the college people coming in at night. But it's a great option, and we're going to be talking to some representatives from that facility, from that Lake Superior State University. Oh, they call themselves universities, not college anymore.
And I'm sure Dr. Mee will have more to
right, on
talk
on August 20th on this show. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Farmers Market right here in Dearborn. And Amy, you were over there this morning.
Yeah.
Did the Farmers Market report.
I'll tell you, it was busy. It was... hello there. We've got someone else sitting down with
we'll,
us.
We'll talk. We want to talk about the bridge cars before the end of the hour, but we actually have a gentleman from Lake Superior State University.
This is Bruce Harger. Bruce, what's your title at the school?
Well, my title right now is I'm Director of Public School Academy Operations,
okay.
and Advanced Technology Academy is one of our charter schools. That's how we got the Dearborn connection.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a provost and retired a couple years ago, came back to work.
It's a running theme here today between the police chief, the Dearborn police chief,
the fire chief.
The fire chief.
Kind of making me nervous.
Retired and
actually.
Coming back.
Yeah, that's the history.
Well, Bruce, we were just talking about the fact that we have I don't know if you want to call it a new agreement or the new program that we're putting in place, that you can, in fact, get a four-year degree, 3 years at Henry Ford and the senior year at a facility for Lake Superior State, but they're in three different areas, correct?
Right now we have agreements for criminal justice, and there's law enforcement, corrections, and a generalist program in that area. We have four programs in business, one in entrepreneurship, one in international business, one in marketing, one in management. In the winter, we're bringing a GIS program. One course, and the full program will be offered next year. And then next year we're bringing network administration and a website development program in our computer science area. And we're looking at other areas as well.
Sure. Obviously things that are, as they trend and become with more job opportunities, you're going to jump on that. It makes a lot of sense.
That's correct. We're trying to bring programs that are practical, perhaps not duplicating what others are doing, and also lowering the cost. We know that many people can't afford to pay what a four-year university charges and also pay room and board. So by bringing the program here to Dearborn, and especially if it's more like a 3+1 rather than a 2+2, you're only paying 1 year of the much higher price university tuition and 3 years at the community college tuition.
Okay. That sounds ideal for people. We were talking off the air about my wife and I were planning on moving, relocating to northern lower Michigan and possibly finishing our degree there. We may be able to finish our degree before we actually move, it sounds like. That's interesting.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea. You could be our poster child.
Yeah. From a cost standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. It definitely does.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks a lot for being on the journal today, Bruce.
You're welcome.
Glad to meet you.
Bruce Harger.
Thank you.
Work with you in the future, I hope. All kinds of exciting ideas here. Education has to move forward. Education is the answer, folks. If you didn't know that, any of these candidates that say that, education is the key. I think Snyder said it, Bonaro said it. Now the question is, how do you keep it moving? We got to get people to graduate from high school,
right.
Which is an amazing thing. How do we graduate them? Of course, they have to have decent classes, and I think they have to have reasons to stay in school, right?
Yeah.
They have to see an advantage to the teachers and the curriculum and the... And
to see a future that's plausible.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay. And then, of course, getting them through college.
Right.
A college program, a degree, maybe it's our two-year or certificate program here, or I think our nursing program is like 2.5 years, 2¾ some community colleges have certificate programs that are a year, 2 years, or 2.5. But you got to get that training. You got to be ready for the future. And of course, a four-year degree, really important too in so many areas, gives you more flexibility, more job opportunities. Often a four-year degree, let's say in business, hey, that's still a good enough criteria to get into an area that's not business, you know what I mean, management and
sure.
Something other than retail sales.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you put in the time, you've got all that variety of classes, you know how to speak properly, you know how to write, use the internet perhaps, and so it means a lot to get a degree. And then of course, which wasn't true when I went to school and graduated in the 60s, you're going to have to stay in education for the rest of your life. Maybe off and on, but you never can say, well, now I'm done with school. Bye-bye.
Right.
Never going back.
The world doesn't work that way.
No,
you're
not at all.
Right.
There's always things changing, and even for the fun of things, you got to keep growing. That's why I think the three people we talked about, Bruce from Lake Superior and the fire chief, the police chief from Dearborn, you get retired, but you still want to make a contribution,
right.
And you've got skills, and if other people recognize them, why not get back into it? Now, you know, I'd like to believe you don't have to work quite as hard when you're back from retirement, but I think these people are. They're back in full swing, and I'm sure
he'll let us know.
Bruce is probably enjoying our somewhat milder winters down south here. And yes, he did verify that they are called Upers.
Oh yeah.
If you live in the UP, but did you know what they call us?
What's
who
that?
We live in the Lower Peninsula.
Jay, Dennis, and Amy.
Trolls.
Oh, I haven't heard that. I don't think
that's bridge.
Not a positive thing. But if a tourist
under the bridge,
if a tourist from the Lower Peninsula visits them in the north, they're called fudgies.
And that's not exactly
no. This is
well,
the reason
the
you go up there
fudge.
To buy the Mackinac fudge.
Sure.
So you're a tourist if you're going to buy the fudge.
Yeah.
So
fudgy.
So it's nothing about the color of your skin, or I didn't want to be racist.
Or content
about it.
Of your character.
No,
yeah.
No. So you're thought of a little bit better than a troll. If you're a fudgy.
I'd rather be a fudgy.
Because you go up there to buy their stuff. Well,
those are my only choices, but I'd like to think that we have more options than those, too.
Yeah.
It just shows our listeners to this show how much they learn with every show.
Yeah.
If they're like me, we have so much to learn, right, folks?
That's right.
Give them something to think about. Would you rather be a troll or a fudgy?
Maybe the last story we have, and then we'll go back to the studio with Bill Keith and his music show in just a minute or so. I've got 1 minute to two here, Bill, if you're listening, but we wanted to mention the issue that came up earlier this week with Helen Thomas, the Arab American National Museum in Dearborn, AANM, is developing a historical exhibit about Helen Thomas, a great journalist, national journalist, a great history of asking presidents tough questions from like about 1950 on
right.
until recently. And it was her 90th birthday this last Wednesday. Happy birthday, Helen. Well, she was, in a way, the first nationally known Arab-American journalist. I think her background is from Lebanon. I'm not sure. And she didn't claim that at the beginning. You know, hire me, I'm Arab-American in 1950.
It was more of a standout in my mind that she was a woman
yes.
in that role
yes.
in D.C. politics.
Right. And she got the number one seat after years of asking tough questions to all the presidents, Democrat and Republican, and well-deserved, I think. Now, in the last couple of years, you might say she's asking little, maybe questions that are too specialized or a little too prickly. And she got into one of those YouTube videos, edited little clip out, in which people said, well, what do you think? It was at a picnic, she was asked. What do you think is the answer about the problem with Arab-Israeli relations. And she said something very briefly that sounded like she said, well, Israel should just move out. And that's not her full opinion on this. She qualified that afterwards. I've read her statements on this before. She is a journalist, and I, with limited research on this, but over the years, the Israelis are not 100% good guys in that situation. As I always say, it takes two to tangle, okay? They're responsible for a lot of the unfortunate deaths and upsets in that area, and you could point to the partitioning of the land and the Left Bank and various military raids, or if somebody would bomb Israel, they would bomb other people, including other innocent people, 10 times over.
Sure.
You know, they multiple response of disaster to any attack, and they felt that was effective. Of course, it's been going on for 60 years now, so I would say their approach is not the most effective.
Right.
I kind of, you know, it's just sad to me that she had to immediately give up her seat
right.
in her news credentials. Because of this upset of, oh, she's anti-Jewish. That's not her opinion. She's not anti-Semitic. She's not anti-Jewish. She just knows that the problem is